Well, welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 FM. I am Lisa Niebuhr in for Joanne Fox, and today I have with us Mary Hendricks from Mercy One Siouxland's Mission Office and Amy Scarman from the Child Advocacy Center. And Amy, you were talking in our last segment about the family sharing their testimonial. If that were happening to me, I would feel so ashamed and feel all alone. Why would a family have the courage to share their testimonial with you and with all of us?
I think that you're right. I think in the past, this has been a very shameful topic, a very secretive topic, and it's not something that a lot of people are very comfortable talking about. But I think until we make that shift in making it more open and having honest conversations about that, I think we aren't going to make progress on how we can prevent this from happening to other people. So it's amazing to me and so exciting when these families, like we had, come forward and say, you know, I don't want this to be a secret anymore. I want people to know what happened, because it's not our child's fault that this happened to her. This is an experience she had, but we're going to take it and we're going to learn and move on from this.
And how do you, and we were talking during the break about an alone wall, that there are those people who are going to keep things inside, not, don't have the courage or aren't quite ready yet to share that. How do I know I'm not alone and that others are encountering it and there's that same wonderful support that I'm getting at the Child Advocacy Center that others have, and I can make that referral to?
Yeah, I think one of the really unfortunate things about abuse is it's secretive. It's secretive in nature, because if it wasn't secretive, it wouldn't be able to continue. If people knew about it, it would probably stop. So this whole concept of all this secretiveness really perpetuates this abuse cycle. And kids, lots of times because of that, feel like they are the only ones who have ever experienced this, because people have made them feel that way. We want people, and children especially, to understand that they are not the only ones who are experiencing this, that they're not alone. And so we have created a board in our center, and every time a child leaves, they get to pick out a sticker, and they put their sticker up on the board with all of the other kids who have been there too. And it's kind of eye-opening for them sometimes to think, wow, all those other people just did what I did. And it really, it does make them feel a lot better about things.
And does it give them the courage when they walk in to see that I'm not alone, to say, not only is the great staff of the Child Advocacy Center, but others have gotten through this, and I can too.
Exactly, yes.
So, Amy, tell us, how do we stop this? It is something secretive that does happen. How do we stop child abuse during this Child Abuse Prevention Month from occurring again?
I think one of the biggest things that we can do is to stop making this such a taboo and secretive subject. We need to start having open and honest conversations, even though they can be really hard. Having those conversations with our kids that are age appropriate, starting when they're very young. It could be as simple as, let's talk about the names of our different body parts, all of the body parts, you know, head to toe. Start giving them the language to identify what those parts are, so that if something does happen to them down the road, they can verbalize what that is that's happening. Start talking to them about appropriate boundaries and that feeling that they might have in the pit of their stomach, that if something feels wrong, it's okay to say, no, I feel uncomfortable, or this feels wrong. Empower them to have control over their own body and to make decisions about that. And then also making sure that they have that ability and the language to go to an adult and know what to do if something were to happen to them that they were not comfortable with.
Amy, what if it doesn't happen on the playground or on the school bus or outside? What if it's something as simple as my phone? Children today go everywhere with the phones. They're playing games. They're on the internet doing research for work. What are some of the signs that we need to be looking at for child abuse prevention when it comes to the internet today?
That is a subject that a lot of parents have questions about, and it's tricky because kids have so much access online to so many different things. And we see that. We see that a lot. And So again, I think as a parent, never be afraid to set limits and boundaries with your child in their use of electronics. That's okay. Also, again, have those open, honest conversations with kids about the use of their phone. Talk to them about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate on the phone or on any electronic device. But I think it needs to go beyond the don't do this or don't do that or don't look at this, don't look at that. Really having conversations with them about what to do when they experience those situations is important, and giving them the permission to come to you and have those conversations without you freaking out about that, that's a pretty big deal too. Giving them the permission to come and say anything they need to you, and that's okay.
And Amy, let's say I'm hearing this from my child and I feel like freaking out. How do I, or what are the things, can I say to the kids, it's okay, I'm scared too, I understand. What are some of the things that we as parents need to say when we're going, oh my goodness, I'm scared? Is it okay to say to the kids, I'm scared too?
I think a really appropriate response is just to start with, thank you for telling me that. And you might need a moment to collect yourself at that time because it can be pretty scary. So if you need that moment, just reassure them that they did the right thing. Thank them again for telling you, and take a second to step aside and let yourself process that situation, because that is not an easy one as a parent to experience either. If you need a little help, call somebody and see what they would recommend. It's okay to reach out. But again, just making the child feel like they're not in trouble, that was okay to come to you, and you're all right with that.
And Mary, again, the phone numbers that we should pick up the phone and call if we are concerned, whether we're the parent or somebody else in the community, what are some of the phone numbers that people can reach in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota for Department of Human Services?
Sure. The Nebraska number is 800-652-1999. The number for Iowa is 800-362-2178. And then in South Dakota, the number is 877-244-6864.
Mary, how does the work of the Child Advocacy Center tie into Mercy One's mission and vision? It seems like it's a scary thing, and yet Mercy One continues to be able to provide the services that families need. Tell us how this all ties together as we are working through these difficult situations.
Sure. Our mission statement is to serve with fidelity to the gospel as a compassionate healing ministry of Jesus Christ to transform the health of our communities. And so when I go over to the Child Advocacy Center, I see that compassionate care from everyone on the staff there. That healing ministry is so critical to transform the health of those children. So like Amy talked about, we can stop that cycle of abuse and let them know that what happened to them is not their fault. So this is just our mission in action, that we provide this care no matter if a person has the ability to pay or unable to pay, and for the time that the child needs it, forever, however long that is.
And Mary and Amy, do you bill my insurance company if I need to pick up the phone and I've had that, oh my goodness, and I know that I need that help? How am I going to pay for these services? You guys do so many different things.
We do bill insurance if a patient has it, but the person coming to the appointment is never responsible for that bill. So if the insurance is unable to pay, we would never prevent that family from having services at the Child Advocacy Center.
So ladies, also the other question I have for you is, how do you cover these costs then? We know that in today's world, nothing is for free, and that the services you're providing provides a substantial value and is addressing a need. How do you pay for these expenses then? How do we pay for your staff?
Yeah, I think like a lot of nonprofits, we rely on grants, but those don't cover all of our costs either. So a lot of it is public support and donations that we receive through the community to help us continue to provide those services.
And if an individual wishes to make a donation, they can go to the Mercy One website, click on the Mercy One Foundation and make a donation there and select the Child Advocacy Center. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Wonderful. Ladies, what are some other things that we can do to help educate ourselves that when we see something in the community, how do we know when to pick up that phone?
You know, we offer a couple of prevention programs in the community. One is called Darkness to Light, Stewards of Children, and that is specifically for adults because we feel like targeting adults in this prevention activity is more important because the adults ultimately are the ones responsible for making this stop. You know, we can't put that responsibility on children. But Darkness to Light, Stewards of Children, really has these five steps that they talk about, and I love how concise and perfect they are. They talk about learning the facts, minimizing opportunity, talking about it, recognizing the signs, and reacting responsibly. So what you asked about, what do I do if I see this out in the community, that is learning the facts. You want to know what to look for, which we talked about today. We want to make sure that organizations and groups minimize the opportunity for abuse to happen. So always making sure that there's an appropriate number of an adult to child ratio. Talking about it, that's what we've been saying earlier too, is we want to make this so that it is not a taboo subject. We want to continue having this out in the open and allowing people to feel comfortable talking about this topic. And just continue to look for it. And when you see it, don't be afraid to call in and make that report because you are more concerned about the safety of that child than you are about how you might be perceived for calling that in.
Well, ladies, we are going to take a quick break and thank our underwriters and sponsors. And we'll be back just in a couple of quick minutes.